You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, boy, Linda, another discussion tonight about the immigration problem and maybe a couple of other things. You know, people are so used to listening to Dr. Ron and Linda talking about immigration issues and national security issues and things at that level. But, you know, what they don't hear is they don't hear two things. Number one, they rarely hear anything about immigration from someone that lives down at the border, near the border, works down at the border, or is very fluent with border-related issues. And tonight, you and I have the privilege of talking with the congressional candidate from the 15th District, Monica De La Cruz Hernandez. And we're going to be talking with her right now about immigration issues and a couple of other things. So welcome to Talking While Married, Monica. How are you?
Hi, I am doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on your show today.
You know, people would wonder, first of all, where the 15th District is in Texas. And if they don't live in that 15th District in Texas, or they don't even live in Texas, why would it be important to hear from you?
Well, Texas 15 is uniquely located, beginning on the northern portion of the district, is between San Antonio and Austin. So if your listeners can picture that in their mind, the area between San Antonio and Austin is consistent of Guadalupe County. That county is on the north side, and it goes straight down like an arrow to the border, ending on the south end of the district in Hidalgo County. Hidalgo County sits right on the border and encompasses two pretty well-known cities, one named McAllen and the other is Edinburgh. McAllen is sadly known as ground zero for illegal border immigration, and Edinburgh is special because it houses the largest border patrol sector in the nation. And so that makes our district very unique.
Well, I'm just really interested in the shape of District 15, because when we looked at it, it's really long and really narrow.
You're absolutely right. It encompasses eight counties. It's long, it's narrow, and the reason why is because there are certain laws in Texas that have to do with ethnicity and geography that our district has to encompass. And that is why there is the quote unquote gerrymandering of this district, so that it can encompass both of those requirements as per the Texas districting requirements. So yes, it is very uniquely, but what I can tell you about this district, there's really two to three things that tie the entire district together. Whether you're on the south end of the district or on the north end of the district, the number one concern is illegal immigration. It doesn't matter who you talk to, on what side or in the middle, they all are concerned about the illegal immigrants coming through our border. That's number one. And number two is oil field and farming, agriculture. That's number two and three right there. And it's really what ties the district together.
When we spoke with you the other night, it was so interesting to me to hear all about this district and hear what was happening on the border, because you actually have a business near the border and you live in your district. So you get all this information from people that we don't hear on the mainstream media. And I'm so interested to hear what people are saying. And the other thing, Monica, that you brought up that I thought was really interesting was the change in vote in that district from 2016 to 2020. And I want you to talk about that.
Yes. And, you know, one of the things your listeners may not be aware of, when we met the other night, we actually met in a county outside my district. And so many times when I go to speak on my district, District 15, in other counties, they often scratch their head and they say, what are you doing over here? I can't vote for you. And I tell people around the state of Texas and outside of Texas is your support is so important for Texas 15. Why? Because I am carrying your conservative message. You see, what we need in the 2022 election is we need to flip the House. We need to flip the House to pass conservative constitutional legislation that will help our country, number one, abide by the Constitution, but respect the values that tie us together. So even if you don't live in my district or don't even live in the state, it's still important to know about District 15 because we are considered the most competitive congressional district in the entire state of Texas, and one of the top three most competitive districts in the entire nation. And when it comes to putting conservative legislation out on the House floor, my vote will represent you. So that being said, you asked about my business. I do live on the border right here in Hidalgo County. So we see firsthand the effects of illegal immigration. What do we see here? Number one, we have an influx, a disturbing influx of illegals coming through a day. Just this past week, I posted on the surge of 10,000 illegal immigrants coming through in 1 week. The other disturbing part of this is that we have unaccompanied children that are coming through here at vast numbers, where the holding facilities for these kids are being stuffed in with so many children. So, for example, when you have pods, formerly known as cages by the media under the Trump administration, these pods are only supposed to have a capacity of 260 children. They're being filled with 400 to 500 children in each pod. So there are health concerns that are not only concerning for Border Patrol agents, but by our American communities, but the health of these children as well. It was just put out recently that the Biden administration is going to put in $86 million into hotel costs for illegal immigrants in our area.
We saw that and we talked about that yesterday. That was just, that, I mean, I'm in shock at all the news I hear every day, but to hear it from somebody who's actually on the border, who actually lives this and sees this firsthand, because there's a media blackout. The media can't get down there and really tell us what's happening. And the other situation is that the media, the mainstream media, is not going to go down there and tell us what's truly happening. But we're hearing that, you know, there's not even clean water, and they're taking people and putting them in buses and they're dumping them in different cities, all the way from California to Arizona to Texas.
And, you know, we saw, or we learned about the leaked email from Border Patrol, Customs and Border Patrol, about the just the squalid conditions that are, you know, inside those detention centers for the children. Children having to sleep on their sides. The email talked about it was really a cry for help. It talked about a over 780% increase in what they're supposed to have, you know, as far as housing for these people. So they're clearly packing them in literally like sardines in squalid conditions. That have to be some of the most unhealthiest. You know, there's no windows. The breathing is very difficult. and it's just an extreme health hazard. And we're trying to figure out why more of this information is not being released. It's only being released on like Fox News or One American News or Newsmax or the conservative areas. So what's going on with that, do you think, Monica?
So you brought up something very important. The Biden administration has really, what they have done is created a humanitarian crisis. This is a humanitarian crisis as well as an illegal immigration. So not only are we breaking our own United States laws, but we're creating a humanitarian crisis along with this. Why do I say that? Because not only do they have squalid conditions right here in the United States, but they're being taken advantage of along the way. You see, by the Biden administration taking away the Remain in Mexico policy gives the people in Central and South America the idea that the Biden administration is welcoming them and they should come across because they do not have to remain in Mexico anymore. Well, living on the border, we know very much about the cartels and how they work. And the cartels are in control of the borders. They're in control of any movement that happens through Mexico. So these immigrants, or they may not even be coming for the right reasons, terrorists, there's rapists, there's MS-13 gang members. All of these people have to pay money, $4,000 to $6,000. I'm hearing the price has increased now to $10,000 a head. They are brought over. The children are sex trafficked. There is human trafficking going on. There is physical abuse. And here's the worst part of it. Some of these kids are coming without any kind of adult supervision. So we have unaccompanied children that are taken advantage of. And when they come across, if their family has not paid money, the coyotes who bring them across, they dump them on farmers and ranchers' land. I hear constant stories from my farmers and ranchers on here that live in Hidalgo and throughout the counties that they find seven-year-old little boys, five-year-old little girls dumped on their land. I mean, can you imagine being a six-year-old little boy speaking only Spanish, talking to someone who doesn't speak Spanish and saying they left me here? My parents didn't pay. I don't know where I live. I just know I live in Guatemala, or I know I live in another country, but they don't know how to get a hold of their parents. Isn't that heartbreaking to hear? The only ones who are benefiting from the Biden administration policy are the cartels. It's a pro-cartel policy. No one is winning here.
Well, I have to tell you, as a Spanish speaker, and I know you are, you're Hispanic, these conditions are just unspeakable. You know, one of the things that the Trump administration had done, and by the way, we live part-time in Mexico, so we're very fluent with the culture and very fluent with what's happening at the border, taking many, many trips to the border. But people, I don't think, understand, because it's lost in the false narratives, that President Trump and his administration had worked out arrangements with President Obrador of Mexico and also in Guatemala and Honduras and in other Central American countries to avoid destabilization of those countries. And had, you know, the United States government was giving them money and providing them with, you know, subsidies for shelters and military personnel and everything, so that these countries would not be destabilized by these tens of thousands of migrants moving from the south through the north and into Mexico. And at the same time, so, you know, what do we talk about when we mention destabilization? First of all, the security forces can't accommodate these large caravans of thousands and thousands of people. They have their own security that they need to watch out for, including the transnational drug cartels. The next thing is, when the people move from Guatemala and up through Honduras, They take jobs away from Hondurans if they decide to stay. The same thing with Hondurans and Guatemalans as they come in to the country of Mexico. And the Mexican people were actually more supportive of the Trump administration than not, because they don't want to lose their own jobs and the governments don't want to be destabilized. That entire paradigm has changed now.
And President Obrador has spoken about that recently, saying that he blames Biden for that and that his country is now destabilized because of all these people coming up through his southern border, through his country, causing a variety of problems, as well as, you know, the COVID risk to the Mexican people. So he's not happy with the situation either. So it seems like it's not a win for anybody. And I really can't see how it's a win for the Biden administration either, because we don't even know who's coming through our border. And what we do know is that we've had felons, we've had drug dealers, we've had people on the terror watch list, we have a serious child trafficking problem, which, you know, I don't think, Monica, that people in America take seriously enough. And because Ron and I have had the opportunity to be in law enforcement and to see those things firsthand, it's very close to our heart what happens to these children. And I don't think that America takes those problems seriously enough. I think that they think it's words and not a reality, or maybe it's too ugly of a reality for them to even want to contemplate. I don't know, but it's real and it's a serious problem on the border. And when you have, as you say, these children coming up unaccompanied, I mean, they are easy pickings for the cartels to, you know, put them in their child trafficking programs.
You mentioned something earlier that I think answers our question as to why the rest of America isn't focused on this. You and I both lived a unique life with your time in Mexico and understanding our circumstances here on the border and up throughout CB-15. What the problem is censorship. What I find when I speak to my friends in other parts of even Texas, and I'm talking as far as Dallas, what is happening is that the voice is being censored. We cannot get the message out to our fellow Americans and to even our own Texans about the truth on what is happening at the border. And you saw this over and over again in the 2020 election when the Democrat Party kept putting out messaging that Hispanics along the border wanted open borders and agreed to this. And that is just simply not the case. The reason why we don't have the main bulk of United States in an uproar about this is because it is not being told to the American people through mainstream media.
Well, you know, I'm going to circle back to that in a minute, because you brought up something when we met you the other night about the censorship and your personal experiences as a candidate with censorship. But let me just interject something that I see as a nexus or a connection between this open border policy of the Biden administration and then the advent, I mean, it's coming soon, of the whole HR1 and totally changing the paradigm with how we vote as Americans on national issues and for national candidates. What do you think is happening?
Well, I believe that what is happening right now is that the Democrat Party is trying to position themselves to be the ruling party and take advantage of Americans and their voting rights. They do it under the disguise of election integrity or being able to help more people get involved in the election process. But when you really dive into HR1, what we find is that it is a disturbing piece of legislation. I will start with just a couple of things that should alarm people right away. And the first thing is allowing 16-year-olds to vote. I have a 15-year-old myself. He can't hardly tie his shoes and keep them tied throughout the day.
Boy, we can relate.
You know, we want to put this responsibility on a 16-year-old kid. That alone should alarm folks right away. The second is, what piece of our government can we look at and say, man, they've just done a stellar job in this area? None of us can point to any area in government and just see how they've done a stellar job. Well, HR 1 allows government funding of campaigns. Now, we don't want the government to fund any campaigns. So that's the second thing that is very disturbing, along with same day voter registration. I mean, if we've got tens of thousands, and I'm going to tell you in 2019, and this was the reason that I was motivated to get involved in politics, is that in 2019, we had 500,000 illegal immigrants come through our border, just CD15. I'm not talking the nation. I'm talking just our border. And I thought in 2019, this cannot be happening. This is an invasion in our country. And imagine if we had those same people be able to same day vote, same day register to vote. How are we checking ID? How are we even knowing if these people are eligible to vote? So this just opens us up for ballot harvesting. It compromises the integrity of our elections and would be detrimental to our elections and right now our two-party system.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is one of the scariest things to come down from the Biden administration that I have ever seen. I mean, it just really, really scares me, because it's like you said, how can you check their ID? And how do you even know that the people that are registering same day and vote same day are who they say they are? I mean, this is just a recipe for disaster for America. Yet we are in a terrible position where we have a Congress that is 50-50 right now, and Kamala Harris is the deciding vote.
And we also have the rhinos to be concerned about.
And we have the rhinos, yes. So I really, really do hope that some Democrats keep their common sense about them, but I just don't see it. And that's really worrisome. You had said something, though, that I want to go back to when we spoke to you recently, was about the change in the vote at the border in Texas. So from 2016 to 2020, 2016, they voted for Hillary. 2020, what happened, Monica?
2020 was an awakening for CD15 and really for many of the border areas. And Hillary won in 2016. She had the larger percentage. What we saw happen in 2020, and if you can imagine, Hidalgo County is 95% Hispanic, many of them coming from immigrants from Mexico. We were having Trump trains of up to 2,000 to 3,000 people. Now, this is a county that was not only blue, but thought to be bright blue. We had Republicans stand up and say, no more. We must have a voice. The last Republican congressional candidate for CD15 in 2018 lost by 21 points. That was in 2 years ago, in 2018. Well, I'm very proud to say that in the 2020 election, we swung the pendulum 18 points, and we only fell short just over 2%, 6,500 votes.
This is a great time for you to talk about Monica and your values and your candidacy coming up to the 2022 election.
Let me tell you, we are on a momentum here. All of my followers throughout CD15 are seeing the rewards of their hard work from 2020, because now we have the national spotlight. Now we have the state spotlight, and the House expects to pick up CD15 in the 2020 election. We did a remarkable job with a pure grassroots movement. You see, as I mentioned before, this district had been blue for over 100 years. Nobody really thought it would change to purple or red. And the Democrat Party was putting out messaging that just simply did not resonate with the Hispanic culture in this district. And you saw that in the 2020 election with that 18-point swing. I'd like to mention at this time is that one of the things that many people in the mainstream media and what the Democrat Party doesn't get is that our district is pro-2A. We want our gun rights. We want to have our guns. We want to buy them as we please, because remember, I said many of us have family from Mexico. My own grandparents fled Mexico. And the reason they fled was for a civil war that happened in their time. And there was gun control at that time. And what I recall my grandmother saying is, mijita, the citizens wanted to protect their land, but there was gun control. We couldn't have guns. We couldn't have guns for our quote unquote own protection. But guess what? The cartels have guns. The bad guys have guns. So the people here along the border understand the repercussions of gun control and how important gun rights are for their own protection of their own family and their own land. We do not believe in our gun rights being taken away. And so none of the messaging from the Democrat Party with gun control, with open borders, with defund the police, that did not resonate with our district. And we saw that in the election. They spoke loudly, and we were happy and proud to close that gap 18 points, which is historic. It's just not done.
It's an amazing accomplishment for you to have achieved. And, you know, we fully believe that you're going to go over the top in 2022, but it's not without its challenges. And you mentioned the other night about the censorship with one of the local newspapers, and they're putting out a story. You're trying to put some facts out there and get your own story going, which was a more truthful narrative. And they were obstructing you, and then you decided, which is wise, I think we're just going to take some campaign money and we're going to buy like a full page ad, and we're going to put our story in their newspaper. Why don't you talk about what happened with that?
You know, I didn't realize that fake news and censorship traveled all the way down to Little McAllen, Texas. And I have been so disappointed by the media, because there have been big things happen. I'll tell you about two of them briefly. One of them was that during the election, my opponent has a federal employee in Duval County, and that federal employee, now mind you, this man is paid for by taxpayer dollars. He went out in broad daylight during his 9-to-5 work hours and stole my campaign signs. And it was astounding because he did it in broad daylight. He's a federal employee being paid by taxpayer dollars, and He was put as a report to the sheriff's department. The sheriff department went out, they got the signs, they cited him, and we put out a press release about that. This is a federal employee of my opponent stealing signs. And stealing is wrong anytime, but during the 9 to 5 hours when you're getting paid by taxpayer dollars, we put that out and we could not get any press on it.
Hold that thought, because we're going to grab our cup of coffee, get you a cup of coffee, and we're going to come right back.
AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, canceling any of the freedoms that our Constitution guarantees is not an option. 5 years on the air, and we will not be silenced. America Out Loud Talk Radio. It's a fight for the soul of humanity.
This is Dr. Ron Martinelli, co-host of Talking While Married. If you enjoy a good fiction detective thriller series with accurate true-life investigative techniques and a contemporary Western theme, I hope that you'll try out my new series, Wade Justice, Texas Ranger. The first two books of a multi-book series are already out to great reviews, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Join retired Texas Ranger Wade Justice as he hunts down a serial killer in Nashville in Absolute Justice, and then follow him through the dark streets of Florence, Italy, as he tracks international terrorists who are plotting to kill the Italian president and murder thousands of Italians in the fast-paced and exciting sequel, Justice for All. My Wade Justice series is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and on Apple, with personalized and autographed books available on our special website, wadejustice.com. That's WadeJustus.com. Get your copies today.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Well, everybody got their cup of coffee? Because we're bringing congressional candidate for the 15th district, Monica De La Cruz Hernandez. And we're just going to steal some more time from you, Monica. So go ahead and finish up your story with the federal employee that swiped your campaign signs while he was on duty and on the government dole.
Yes, absolutely. So as I said, he stole our signs. Federal employee works for the current congressman, and there was no reprimand. He still has his job today, and we could not get any press. So we decided at that point that we would have to take our campaign money, and we ended up purchasing a full page ad in the local newspaper so that we could expose what was happening. And we see this over and over again when it comes to our campaign not getting the exposure. Another brief example is my opponent also has bank accounts at the Bank of China, up to $250,000 in the Bank of China, our country's greatest adversary. It was broke by Breitbart. It was broke by San Antonio, Austin. Everybody had it on the news all over the state.
But he wasn't a Biden relative, was he? His name wasn't Hunter, was it? No,
you know, it should be investigated, because I don't know how he got that money, or has he paid taxes, and how much did he make off that money? This is the Bank of China, who supports the Bank of China. If you look at their mission statements, supports communism, supports their leaders' wishes of communism. And it's just disturbing the type of censorship that my campaign is receiving.
You have not lived your life as a politician. You have lived your life as a small business owner, just as I have. And what was it? What was the moment in time that you said, I've got to do something here. I need to run. I need to represent this district and make it a better place for the people in the 15th district.
I have never been in politics previous to 2020 election. My mother was raised to me as a single mom, Sheree, at DHS. And my husband was born in a wooden house, and his father's still an oil field worker. We come from simple beginnings, but I think we are the example of the American dream. We proudly own several small businesses, and I feel that we are a reflection of the true American dream. And I'm so humbled and blessed to have reached our personal goals. I can tell you that 2019 and the influx of illegal immigrants, as I mentioned, 500,000 illegal immigrants that came specifically through CD15. We found not only that disturbing, but we found what the media was saying was not in line with what was truly happening and how the constituents of this district truly felt. And every time we turned on the television, we said, but that's not how we feel. We don't want open borders. We want border security. What are they talking about? And my husband and I were Christians, we're godly people, God-fearing people, and we felt that God has blessed me with the gift of leadership and the gift of communication. And because of those blessings, we had received these successes in our business. And now it was time to use them for his purposes, because my husband and I both believe that our country was blessed by God. We say one nation under God. And it is because of our Christian values and the Christian foundation that this country was built on, that America is as great as it is. And so we felt that we needed to use my blessings for his purpose. And I believe that this is not only a war between Republicans and Democrats. This is a war on Christianities. Christians versus non-Christians. And that I need to go to war with his purpose and with his blessings that he's given me. And so now I am running again for the 2022 election, and I'm very humbled to have the support of the grassroots people who backed me in the 2020 election.
You're coming out and you're talking to people early in the game, which I love. And the thing that just really, I really, really want to stress with people is what Monica says about, yes, she's not in your district, but no matter where you are listening to Talking While Married right now, it doesn't matter. You need to support all of the candidates that you can afford to support, because she's absolutely right. And it really hit home to me that we need, in every district, not just in our own districts, but in every district in the country, we need people that will make a difference and represent us. If Monica gets elected in her district, but people don't get elected in everyone else's districts, we're still going to be down people in the Congress and Senate. And we need to get our conservatives and our values back in the Congress and back in the Senate, so that we are not heading towards a socialist country at this time.
This is the time when Texans have to stick together. And by what I mean by stick together is we need the already Republican red congressional districts to reach out to other districts like mine to pull us together, to keep us red so that we have a conservative voice, because it's about the votes and making sure we have enough congressional votes to pass House legislation that supports conservative values.
Absolutely. So I want to see people look at elections as they start thinking about them for 2022, much more globally than just locally, because we've got to get and we've got to donate to candidates that are not just in our own districts, but in other districts where we need to make those seat flips in the House and further our own interests and the country's interests in keeping our country, you know, as a constitutional America, as the place that we know and that we love, and not see it changing in the rapid way it's changing right now. So the big message for me is that we all need to look more globally and support candidates. And to that end, Monica, we will definitely be supporting you in your candidacy. We were very impressed having met you. We believe that you're the right person for District 15. And so we're going to be following with you. You'll be coming and talking with us again. And can you give out your how people can contact you, how they can donate to you?
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. And I invite your listeners to follow me at Monica forcongress.us. That's my website. And of course, we have an area there that you can make donations and also see the legislation that my opponent has voted on, which I think is very disturbing because he has a 97% voting record with Pelosi. And so you can follow me on my website, on my social media. It's also Monica FOR Congress. And please follow me. I'd love to hear more about ideas and you can get to know me a little bit better. Thank you again.
No problem. And you know, I just want our friends and our followers and listeners to know, I mean, personal experience with Monica is that even though she's extremely busy and she's bouncing all over the place, talking to Texans and American citizens.
And running a business and raising three kids.
And guess what? She gets back to you pretty darn quick. She's got a great office staff. And this is the kind of politician that we need, who engages the constituency. Yes. And speaks for all American and has good Christian values. Monica, Linda and I want to thank you so much for being on Talking While Married, and we'd like to extend an ongoing invitation to you to come back anytime you want, and let's get Monica elected to Congress. That's Monica de la Cruz Hernandez of the 15th Congressional District in the great state of Texas.
Well, that was a great conversation with Monica, and you know, the thing that comes to my mind, Ron, is what I like about Monica is that she has been a business owner, that she understands how to handle money, that she understands how to manage employees, that she understands how to run things so that they run well. And in a discussion that you and I had with Monica, what she had said and correctly pointed out, something we always point out, is that what in our federal government works properly? What can you point to that works really, really well?
They spend a lot of money.
they do
that very well.
But businesses not only have to spend money, they have to earn money. So they understand both sides of it, and they understand the value of those dollars, and that you only have limited dollars, and therefore you have to choose where those dollars go. The government doesn't seem to understand that. So just like President Trump was a businessman, and I felt that that worked out really well for America, Monica is a businesswoman, and she understands what that means and what that takes. So she would be the perfect representative for District 15. And to extrapolate that, people like Monica would be the perfect representatives for anywhere in our country. People that are not lifelong politicians, but that are involved because they truly want to make a difference. Just like President Trump, who was not a lifelong politician, right? He saw a problem and he said, man, nobody's fixing this. I've got to get involved. That's exactly what happened to Monica. Nobody was fixing it. And she needed to get involved. She felt it in her heart. She felt it in her soul. And she took action. That is what we need in this country.
You know what I liked about Monica, and you touched on a lot of things, but I hearken back to the first days of the American Republic and people that got into politics did not get into politics. Our founding fathers, the people that signed the Declaration of Independence, the people that wrote and signed off on our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, when this country was first born, and they were all reluctant politicians. They all had lives, they had families, they had careers, and they didn't have any of the entitlements that politicians have today, which I strongly believe we need to get rid of. But they went in, like Monica did, reluctantly after, as you say, and as she said, soul searching. I mean, even going repeatedly back to her priest to question, should I really be doing this? Is this my calling? I love that. I think that's what we need. And you remember that in the old days, in the very, very old days, if you read your history, they didn't come back time and time and time again, you know, spend a whole life in politics. It was actually considered to be a sacrifice. They sacrificed their families, they sacrificed their businesses. A number of them, after doing their service, after only a couple of years, they returned back. But some of them died without any money at all, left, broke, bankrupt.
Boy, that's not happening today, is it? Because the people that enter our politics now are lining their pockets like crazy with our money. And that just is not the way that things were intended to be in this country. Here you have a Hispanic woman who lives on the border, who's seeing firsthand what's happening at our border. Most people in this entire America are not seeing firsthand what is happening on the border. So her story is powerful and compelling. You know, Ron, I want to mention an article by Andrew W. Coy in The American Thinker that I just thought so kind of fits this theme. And he's talking about that when two opposing forces are locked in a battle, it's of the utmost importance not to let one side be the decider of the rules of engagement. And his article is, hey, we need to be helping decide the rules of engagement. It's not for the liberal progressives to be deciding all of these rules of engagement and what weapons are used, because that's what we're seeing every single day right now in our Congress and Senate. They are deciding everything. We need to, we being patriots, conservatives, constitutionalists, Christians, we need to be involved at this point in time. And we need to not let the language of the battle defeat us. We need to come out and speak up and say, no, this is wrong. The progressives are the extremists, but they are making we, the conservatives, sound like the extremists.
Well, yeah, because they play the victim game. And that's the new woke, okay? The new woke, and if you pay attention to the wokies, as I call
them.
The
wokies.
And the progressive left and, you know, these people, AOC is a wonderful example of this. They throw down the victim card. They use a lot of emotional rhetoric. They give you very few forensic facts. As a matter of fact, they blind you from learning about the forensic facts, right? I mean, that's what's going on right now in this country. And they claim the higher moral ground.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's what they do.
So we are letting them dictate the weapons in this war.
Yeah.
And it is a war. It's a war for our country at this time.
Yeah,
so I want to say some things that the progressives are the extremists in. And then I want to hear your comments about them. So the progressives are the extremists when it comes to the border, right? They want open borders. They're not doing COVID testing. They want illegal immigration without checks, without balances. They want borders without lines. They want drugs coming into the country. They don't want America to be a sovereign country any longer. Progressives are also the extremists when it comes to abortion. They want to allow abortion at any time of pregnancy, even after birth. That is not the conservatives. That is not our values. The progressives are the extremists when it comes to canceling millions of Americans' First Amendment rights.
Oh, I absolutely agree 100%. You know, so who really are the extremists here? You know, who's throwing out the emotional rhetoric? Who built a wall around the Capitol building? Who is crying victim when you don't see any evidence of victimization? You know, who, you know, put thousands and thousands of armed troops surrounding the people's house? Who prevents the people from coming into their own house? It's them. Who keeps the press that has literally put the progressive left into office? Who denies them the opportunity to report on the truths or what is happening on the border? This is pure fascism. It is pure Marxism. It is pure neo-national socialism. And all people have to do is go back into their history to prior World War II through World War II and see that.
And who are the extremists when it came to the mostly violent riots that took place last summer? The deep state authorities stood by and did nothing as people killed and beat up innocent people. They looted, they robbed, they set fires. They did nothing, including Kamala Harris. They did nothing to stop the riots, but did bail the rioters out of jail.
But they did empower, they did enable them, just like you said, Kamala Harris, with donating money to that organization, or in the least, encouraged people to donate money to that organization that bailed out, you know, felons. As far as I'm concerned, domestic terrorists.
And it's progressives who have become the extremists about race. Now it's that one skin color at birth alone can make you a racist. I mean, that's absolutely crazy. They believe that you judge someone not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character is racist. If you say that, it's racist. Martin Luther King would disagree with that.
He would roll over in his grave.
Absolutely would. They are progressives, are the extremists in creating the Ministry of Truth, in which they are outlawing actual truth. They're outlawing truth. And we know that they characterize so many things in the news, right? They just out and out lie. And they keep that lie going. It's like, if you tell it long enough, people will believe it.
Yeah, but you know, that's a whole separate coffee conversation.
Well, they're also the extremists for global warming. They're the extremists in everything. It is not the conservatives who are the extremists. And yet we are being painted as the extremists in America.
But you know, Linda, let's go back to what you said. And the author of that article said, we cannot allow the progressive left to dictate the rules of engagement on the political battlefield. We can't do that. And one of the problems that I have with the Republican Party is that that's exactly what they do. They are so worried. Our political representatives in the Republican Party, not all, but a good number of them, don't do anything. They allow the progressive left to do all of the extremist things that they do, that they say, that they legislate, and they don't do anything because they don't want to be seen as, quote, the bad guys. But that's not what this is about.
They are buying in to what the progressives are selling, and you, that's wrong.
And you tell me that the Rhino Republicans like Mitt Romney and all of these other guys, and you notice already now how many of them are retiring now they see the writing on the wall. But they are the ones that we really need to watch out for. They are the fifth column within the Republican Party.
And they are basically making it a crime, Ron, for people to disagree with them. And that is socialism at its roots. And we can't allow this. So we need to be vigilant. We need to start looking at people that we want to be putting into office in 2022. It's not too early to do that. It's time to do that. It's time to get the right people in and get those people, you know, on the way to running for election.
And, you know, I want to piggyback really quickly on this. And that is, we need to be strong enough as American people to force these politicians that really work for us to return back to the rules of when our country was first founded. We need to get rid of these entitlements. We need to get rid of the, you work one day in office and you've got a pension for the rest of your life. They have their own medical system, their own health insurance, their own, you know, whatever Social Security is to us. They have their own, you know, Washington financial plan or whatever you talk about. They are allowed to run for office, you know, for 40, 50 years and stay in office. That is not what this country was founded on, and that's not what this country deserves. And we need to be, and I'll use the word, we need to be radical about that, and we need to affect radical, albeit peaceful, change. But we have to have change, or we will decline into a third world nation.
So it's as good of a time as any for people to get engaged with America Out Loud. Go to AmericaOutLoud.com. Stay engaged with the people on the talk shows, the people that are writing the articles. It's a very, very patriotic and talented group of people. And it's truth. And that's what they're there to put out, is truth and not the spin that the media puts out.